It's a trap!
Hello and welcome to episode number 111 of Radio TCX,
your weekly source for X-Wing news and strategy.
I'm Tim Dugan.
And I'm Carson Ray, and today we're going to be continuing our awesome The Art of Control series.
This is a series covering the four main types of control that appear in X-Wing. Our first episode, we talked all about action control and the three main subtypes of that: stress dealing, token removal, and modification disruption. This week, we're going to be focusing on an area of control called combat control.
Of the four types of control, this is the rarest one, but because it's so powerful, it does show up in competitive play quite a bit.
And if you're not quite sure what we mean right now, I think by the end of this episode, you'll have a pretty good idea. So let's get into our discussion of combat control. So before we get into the specifics of combat control, let's quick look again at what we're talking about when we use the term control in general.
Yeah, control is an alternative strategy or style of play in X-Wing that focuses on non-damage dealing methods of disrupting your opponent's strategy.
We know that a given list's action efficiency, maneuverability, and abilities don't work in a vacuum. They're always measured against an opposing list. Control focuses on disrupting a given list's synergies.
And control cards offer an important counterbalance or safety valve for what we refer to as the metagame with X-Wing. Whenever a list becomes overly popular, control strategies can be utilized to disrupt whatever key mechanics are being used. And today we're going to particularly focus on combat control.
So the way we distinguish combat control from other types of control is combat control abilities are abilities that decrease your opponent's damage output without affecting their tokens. So this way we can distinguish it from action control. Action control can affect things like card modification or token modification, which also do affect combat. Specifically, combat control here is affecting that damage output without touching their tokens or their other abilities.
Yeah, and combat control is another one that becomes increasingly important as the game has progressed. We've seen both the weight of dice being thrown in attacks and the power of modifications behind those attacks steadily increase as the game has progressed. Lists currently are using a lot of four dice attacks or many repeated well-modified three dice attacks, which means if you're able to disrupt a ship's ability to attack during a turn, that can provide a key advantage in keeping your list alive.
Combat control effects are very rare. They only show up on, you know, a half dozen cards or so in the game, but they are very commonly used because they're just so powerful.
And the name might be counterintuitive here, but when we say combat control, this is purely a defensive style of control. This style of control is used to defend your squad by preventing your opponent's attacks, delaying their attacks, or reducing the impact of their attacks.
And we can look all the way back at the original X-Wing core set to see really the first and probably the most popular long-term iteration of combat control in the form of Biggs Darklighter.
Yeah, straight out of the core set, Biggs Darklighter was the original combat control.
Originally, the Biggs Darklighter pilot card read, "Other friendly ships at range 1 cannot be targeted by attacks if the attacker could target you instead." Now, this ability proved to be so powerful that there was a substantial errata to this card quite a bit after it was released. So currently, Biggs Darklighter's ability reads, "Once per game at the start of the combat phase, you may choose that until the end of the round, other friendly ships at range 1 cannot be targeted by attacks if the attacker could target you instead."
Yeah, and when I first started playing X-Wing, it was not overly apparent why Biggs Darklighter was such a powerful card. But target priority is just such an important part of winning a game of X-Wing that Biggs's effect really completely removes an opponent's decision-making when you're trying to select a target. If Biggs is the only target they can choose, it takes away a lot of the strategy your opponent can employ.
Yes, the core of the Biggs Darklighter ability is forcing your opponent to focus on a ship that's a much lower priority for them in order to protect your other, probably more valuable ships.
Right, it allows you to take other ships that perhaps have a very high damage output, but just don't have a survivability to make that investment in damage output normally worth it. But if they're the second ship that needs to be destroyed, then they get to last long enough to deal an important amount of damage. Or perhaps providing an important support or control effect paired with Biggs means the opponent can't easily remove that.
It is really interesting to note that really the value of Biggs Darklighter is pretty much strictly in its pilot ability.
T-65 X-Wings generally just have not been that good. Biggs is the only one that's really ever seen much play for the past six waves.
Yeah, for a long time, Biggs was really the only T-65 X-Wing you'd see out there. Maybe occasionally a Wes Jansen, but Biggs' ability is just so powerful that you often see this in a lot of Rebel synergy lists. And we'd throw in upgrade cards to help extend Biggs' longevity there. Things like R4-D6, which could cancel some damage. And then the release of Integrated Astromech added effectively an extra hit point there, which made Biggs' ability last a little bit longer.
I mean, even with its eroded change, now only be able to use that ability once per game, you still have that threat of the activation of Biggs' ability, which can still provide a pretty powerful amount of combat control. Because if you target a ship that isn't Biggs and don't finish them off in one round, then that following turn, Biggs can activate his ability and completely mitigate the damage you put on that other ship, because now you have to focus on Biggs, which is going to put you behind on removing ships and taking guns off the board.
And if you decide to shoot Biggs anyway without Biggs activating its ability, well, that's perfect. That's exactly what your opponent wanted you to do.
Another effect that's kind of like the inverse of Biggs' ability is the Captured TIE title for the Rebel TIE Fighter.
Captured TIE is a one-point TIE Fighter-only, Rebel-only modification that reads, enemy ships with a pilot skill value lower than yours cannot declare you as the target of an attack. After you perform an attack, or when you are the only remaining friendly ship in play, discard this card.
Yeah, so as long as you have them beat on pilot skill, this card means that your Captured TIE has to be the last target for their opponent.
And the Captured TIE modification hasn't been a hugely popular choice, though we have seen some players use it to pretty great effect. I know Nathan Ide took an Ahsoka Tano with Veteran Instincts to get it up to pilot skill 9, threw that Sabine on there to get a bomb slot, and then was able to start dropping bombs and not receive any return shots as long as he had his opponents beat on pilot skill.
Yeah, and that worked pretty similar to having like a Biggs Darklighter-esque effect in the list where he had the support effect of Ahsoka Tano that opponent just wasn't able to target. And those are really the only two examples of target priority disruption. But there's some other ways to delay your opponent's attacks. We have Torkoal Mux, the Scum Hawk.
Torkoal Mux's ability, at the end of the activation phase, choose one enemy ship at range 1 to 2 until the end of the combat phase. Treat that ship's pilot skill value as 0.
Yeah, so simply this allows your lower pilot skill ships to attack and perhaps pilot skill kill a higher pilot skill ship. It's also great for really disrupting key powerful attacks like a high pilot skill ordnance carrier.
It's not uncommon nowadays to see ordnance carriers coming in at really high pilot skills, sometimes as high as pilot skill 11. So being able to drop that pilot skill down to 0 gives your other ships an opportunity to pour a bunch of damage into that ordnance carrier and potentially take that ship off the board or deal a devastating crit like Blinded Pilot before it has a chance to use its ordnance. It's also very valuable against ships like the TIE Phantom, especially Whisper with Veteran Instincts at pilot skill 9, who depends on taking that shot in order to trigger the advanced cloaking device and get that cloak token to boost its defense. Using Torkoal Mux's ability is really great for sabotaging that synergy, making that ship drop down to pilot skill 0, which means it's not shooting early and it's not getting that cloak token for defense.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of really great after-attack triggers, like advanced cloaking device, that Torkoal Mux is great at disrupting. Hotshot Co-Pilot is a very popular one right now, and that ability to remove a focus token because you have to spend it while defending the attack means you don't have it for your attack on whatever other target you want to spend it on.
Yeah, so being able to drop a ship that has Hotshot Co-Pilot down to 0 means that you're going to be able to keep your focus token and use it when you want to, rather than get shot at early on by a high pilot skill ship with Hotshot Co-Pilot and be forced to spend that focus token in a non-ideal situation.
Yeah, so a lot of wide uses for that low pilot skill trigger. I mean, it's on a pretty weak platform, the Hawk, but we know there's just so many powerful abilities, especially on the Scum side for control.
Hey, Radio TCX listeners, time for a quick Patreon update. We are finally ready to announce our raffle winners for the month of April. This month, we were giving away a Rey Altart promo card from the most recent World Championships, as well as a set of the acrylic stress tokens that were given away in the most recent regional season. Winning the Rey Altart promo card is Timothy LeBeau from California, and winning those awesome acrylic stress tokens is Jamie Bean from New York. Congratulations, guys, and a huge thank you to everyone who supported the show through Patreon. If you'd like to be eligible for our raffles and support the show, please go on to patreon.com/radiotcx and become a supporter of the show today. We really appreciate it. And now, back to the cast.
Now, the Kylo Ren crew card, or Kylo Ren pilots, all dealing out the I'll show you the dark side condition, and have quite a wide impact for different types of control. Some of them are impacting combat control here. Some of them have much more maneuvering control implications. It kind of depends on which pilot crit gets dealt.
Kylo Ren, of course, shows up as a pilot for two different ships, the Upsilon-class shuttle, as well as the TIE Silencer, and shows up as a crew card. All three of those Kylo Ren abilities, though, are able to deal out the I'll show you the dark side condition, which, when this card is assigned, if it's not already in play, the player who assigned it searches the damage deck for one damage card with the pilot trait and may place it face up on this card. Then shuffle the damage deck. When you suffer critical damage during an attack, you are instead dealt the chosen face up damage card. When there is no damage card on this card, remove it. It's important to note that when you do suffer that critical damage, that actually will go underneath your shields, so you'll actually take the effect of that critical damage, and it can be pretty devastating.
Right, and so these control effects will break down into which pilot damage card is being dealt. So the damage cockpit card, which after this turn treats your pilot skill value as zero, is going to work pretty similar to Torkoal Mux. Obviously, it's also going to give you some maneuvering advantage during the activation phase, but it's also pretty good at reducing pilot skill, you know, for those phantoms with advanced cloaking device, the hotshot co-pilot triggers.
If you're able to slip a damage cockpit crit onto one of your opponent's more valuable ships, that's going to be a devastating long-term game effect there, where suddenly they invested all these points into a ship, assuming they were going to have a high pilot skill, maybe up in the 9, 10, or 11 area, and suddenly that's dropped all the way down to zero, so this ship can easily get outpositioned and often killed before it gets a chance to shoot again.
Yeah, and this one's kind of interesting because it's a control effect that takes at least a turn to set up the advantage.
But that turn worth of setup pays off given that this is an ability that can't be removed. It's going to be persistent for the remainder of the game.
Right, the advantage just keeps perpetuating. You really want to put it on a key target. Kylo Ren can also use I'll Show You the Dark Side to select the Blinded Pilot damage card.
The Blinded Pilot crit reads, you cannot perform attacks after your next opportunity to attack, even if there was no target for the attack, flip this card face down. While Damage Cockpit is a persistent effect that'll last, Blinded Pilot is just one turn, but missing the opportunity to attack, even on a single turn, can swing an entire game against you.
Absolutely. I mean, this is a bunch more of a finesse card, requiring you to use it on the key turn, where they're going to have a really powerful attack, whether that's the opening engagement to stop a munition, or a key range one shot, or just take away their final shot before you're able to finish off a ship. Because you'd only have two Blinded Pilot cards in the deck, so you have to make sure you use them at the right time. But when used right, can be completely devastating and just take away your opponent's ability to fight back.
And there is a certain amount of volatility to the Kylo Ren ability. You do need to be dealing a crit, which is not always something you count on unless you're including a ship like Rear Admiral Chirinow, whose pilot ability allows you to more consistently get crit results.
Or Emperor Palpatine that lets you cheat a little bit and modify a die to a crit result.
Yeah, nowadays there are plenty of ways to make sure that Kylo Ren ability triggers. And ships like the Decimator, where we often see this combination, it can carry both Kylo Ren and Emperor Palpatine. So you've got a lot of ways to guarantee that that Blinded Pilot or Damage Cockpit is going to go through.
Yeah, so those are the only Kylo Ren, I'll Show You the Dark Side crit cards that apply to combat control. We'll get to the rest when we handle positioning control.
But while we're on the topic of Blinded Pilot, we can talk about another way that you can deny your opponent from shooting at all.
Those are the super fun tractor beam tokens. So when a small base ship is dealt a tractor beam token, their agility is reduced, but also the first time they're dealt the token, you can boost or barrel roll a ship, which has some pretty interesting implications because you can use that to boost or barrel roll them onto an asteroid, which could deny the shot entirely, functioning a lot like a Blinded Pilot card. Or you could barrel roll the ship to completely remove its firing arc from targeting your ship.
Anyone who's brought a squad of expensive small base ships against either tractor beams or more commonly the Shadowcaster title knows how terrifying it can be to try and navigate that asteroid field and try to avoid getting that devastating tractor beam token that could end up denying you some of your very valuable shots.
Well, don't forget the quad jumper using the Space Tug tractor ray. Doing that during the activation phase is pretty scary for ships to fly against as well. It is important to get these tractor beam effects to trigger before the opposing ship activates during the combat phase. Otherwise, you won't be able to deny the shot. It doesn't really matter if you deny the shot if they've already shot during that turn.
Unless it's a case of Quick Draw, who fires at his pilot skill and is hoping to get a return shot when he loses some shields. I've suffered many a time to Carson's Shadowcaster title, dropping my Quick Draw onto a rock so I can't get my special shield loss shot.
Yeah, and hopefully that rock took out the rest of your shields, too. You can also use Tractor Beam tokens not just to deny a shot, but also just to reduce their effectiveness. If someone's looking to fire off a munition and they have key ranges that they can fire that on, you're able to boost them in from range 2 into range 1. Now they can't fire that harpoon missile. And yeah, range 1 attacks are usually not great, but if it's, say, a Alpha Class Star Wing that only has a primary attack value of 2, well, then that's a 3-dice attack instead of a 4-dice harpoon attack. So they're pretty versatile and really impactful combat control against small base ships. I would say, sadly, you can't move large base ships with Tractor Beam tokens. I wish it had the same effect like Ion tokens, where if you got 2 of them, then you could move a large base ship. That'd make me a lot happier. I think those ghosts need to be barrel rolled onto rocks more.
Speaking of ghosts, another way we've seen some combat control recently is in the form of the Kanan Jarrus pilot on the VCX-100. Kanan's ability reads, when an enemy ship at range 1 to 2 is attacking, you may spend a focus token. If you do, the attacker rolls 1 fewer attack die.
Yeah, so Kanan can quite broadly disrupt all of the attacks in an opposing list, as long as he has enough focus tokens.
And that disruption is really important. Being able to remove attack dice coming at you removes the maximum amount of damage you're going to take in a round, which is really important for ships like the Ghost with a 0 agility value. Being able to reduce the amount of damage you're taking is their main strategy for lasting in a game.
Yeah, attack dice reduction is pretty powerful, and the Rebels kind of a monopoly on this effect. They also have the Captain Rex pilot card, who can deal out the suppressive fire condition.
The suppressive fire condition reads, when attacking a ship other than Captain Rex, roll 1 fewer attack die. When you declare an attack targeting Captain Rex, or when Captain Rex is destroyed, remove this card. At the end of the combat phase, if Captain Rex did not perform an attack this phase, remove this card.
Yeah, so if your opponent does not target Captain Rex, that suppressive fire condition is going to work a lot like Kanan Jarrus, reducing the effect of all their attacks. But if they do target Captain Rex, well then, that suppressive fire condition not going to trigger, but you're going to get effect quite similar to Biggs Darklighter, forcing your opponent to target a suboptimal target.
At just 14 points, losing Captain Rex isn't a huge loss there. You're still going to have the bulk of your list there, so you do very much get a Biggs Darklighter-like effect there. And this was a very popular card in combination with Biggs back in the day, where you could actually force your opponent to shoot someone other than Captain Rex, which means that that suppressive fire condition was definitely going to take effect.
Yeah, and these attack dice reduction effects feel like support effects because they're keeping all of your friendly ships alive because you're reducing the power of your opponent's attack. But they are control effects because you're not boosting your defense, which support effects do, but you're disrupting the power of your opponent's attack.
The last card we're going to talk about today has application in combat control, but it also has a lot of application in other areas of control. The Boba Fett crew card for Scum and Villainy comes in at 1 point, and it reads, after performing an attack, if the defender was dealt a face-up damage card, you may discard this card to choose and discard one of the defender's upgrade cards.
Now, this might be one of the best design cards we have in X-Wing, designed by world champion Paul Heaver. And it's such an important card because it just provides such a good safety valve for the metagame. If any particular card becomes just too powerful, Boba Fett crew can just remove that. At the time Paul designed it, he was thinking about engine upgrade on large base ships. And now with such great damage-dealing upgrade cards like Twin Laser Turret, Harpoon Missile, Bomblet Generator, those are just such great cards to just Boba Fett away. Especially we're talking about combat control, removing that Twin Laser Turret from a ghost that's looking to use that more than once in a turn. You take away that Twin Laser Turret, that ghost with the docked Phantom is going to be pretty sad.
Boba Fett can also be used to remove offense-increasing title cards like the Punishing One on the Jumpmaster 5000 or the Special Ops Training card on the TIE SF.
Very versatile card. I'm sure everyone has great stories of what particular upgrade card they removed from their opponent just at a key point. When you get that to trigger at the right moment, it can be very rewarding. Or very sad if you're on the receiving end.
So hopefully you have a pretty good idea of what we mean when we say combat control.
Yeah, I mean, we just covered all of it. There's not that many specific combat control effects, but the ones we listed, I mean, at least one has been a player in every metagame. Currently, that Kylo Ren, I'll show you the dark side condition, is a pretty key player right now.
as the X-Wing metagame has evolved over the years, we've seen more and more powerful attacks coming from very high pilot skill platforms, and combat control is a great way to mitigate the effectiveness of those attacks. Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of Radio TCX. If you like the show, please go on to facebook.com/radioTCX and like our Facebook page. It only takes a second, but it really means a lot to us. And while you're there, you can leave us a 5-star review on Facebook saying what you like about the show. Those Facebook reviews really help people get an idea of what the show's about and help us increase visibility of the show.
You can follow us on Twitter at Radio TCX Podcast.
And if you really enjoy listening to the show, please take a couple minutes to go onto iTunes and leave us a 5-star review along with a written review saying what you like about the podcast. Those reviews are really important for people who are trying to decide which X-Wing podcasts are worth their time. So we really appreciate everyone who's left us a review.
This week, I'm going to give a shout out to AJoseph86, who left a 5-star review saying that the show is short, sweet, and to the point. Thank you, AJoseph86.
And a huge thank you to everyone else who's left us a review.
If you want to support the show directly, please consider going on to patreon.com/radioTCX and becoming a supporter of the show today. It really means a lot to us.
Again, guys, thank you so much for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.